This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the fifth year after Hijrah, the Quraysh set out with an army towards Medina, the size of which was never seen before. They enlisted the tribe of Ghatafan and 6,000 soldiers from them alone. And to give you a comparison, the Battle of Uhud, they came with 3,000 total. And so now they're coming with an army of 10,000, 6,000 of which are from the tribe of Ghatafan. And they come outside of Medina, and we know the famous story where the Muslims built a trench, a massive trench, to keep them out of the city. And they laid siege to Medina. And it was in that moment that the believers were tested in a very severe, difficult test. The hypocrites were even commenting, "We can't even go out to use the bathroom in security." When the Prophet had promised, when he broke the big stone that was in the trench that they weren't able to break, and he came and he broke it, and he three times he struck it, and all three times he said, "I've been given the keys to Sham and Persia and Yemen, and the Romans and the Persians and Yemen." And the hypocrites said, "He's promising us victories over the superpowers of the world, and we can't even use the bathroom in security." That's how fearful they were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُم مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَا Allah says, when they came at you from above you and from below you. So the tribe of Ghatafan was stationed in one area, the Quraysh is stationed in another area, and from within Medina itself, the tribe of Banu Qurayza, the Jewish tribe in Medina, who the Muslims had a treaty with, had secretly agreed with the Quraysh that they will break the treaty and attack the Muslims from within. So surrounded by an army they've never seen before, the size of which they've never seen before, and from within their own ranks, this treaty that was had, the Muslims found out that will be broken. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he sought out to try and break this unification amongst the disbelievers. So he met with Al-Harith and Uyayna, two of the leaders of Ghatafan. And he began negotiating with them. And he told them, if I were to offer you a third of all of the produce of Medina, in return that you leave, you break your treaty with the Quraysh and you leave, so the majority of the army would be broken. Would you take that? And after some back and forth, they agreed. And so it was written down. But it wasn't finalized yet because the Prophet said, I must confirm with the leaders of the Ansar, because the dates belong to the Ansar. It's their farms. And Ghatafan was closest to them as well. The Prophet knows that the Ansar know them the best and know their what negotiation would be best with them. And so he calls the two Sa'ad, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah and Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhumah, two giants from this ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ, he presents to them the deal. He says, I have a deal and here's the paper. We give Ghatafan one third of all the produce of Medina and they will leave. This is after days and days of a siege that has caused the Medina, the people to suffer and be in fear. To the point that Allah says that وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ, the eyes are like darting back and forth in fear. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ, the hearts have reached the throats. When every beat of your heart, you could feel it in your whole body because of how terrified you are. So, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, he says, Ya Rasulullah, أَمْرًا تُحِبُّهُ فَنَصْنَعَهُ, O Messenger of Allah, this deal you're offering to us, is this something that you love, that makes you happy? So then we will surely carry it out. Or he says, "Am shay'in amaraka Allahu bihi la budda lana min al-'amali bihi." Or is it something that Allah has commanded, has revealed to you to take this, to do this? Then of course, again, we will follow without any question. Or he says, "Am shay'in tasna'uhu lana." Or, O Messenger of Allah, is this something that you, out of your concern for us and the difficulty you have seen us fall into? Is this something you are doing on your own accord? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he says that, no, this is something I am doing because I see that the Quraysh and the Arabs have gathered with one arrow to strike you. And they have surrounded you and have seen what has become of you. So I'm trying to break this upon you. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he says one of the famous statements of his life that could be written in gold. You know, there's moments in your life, when something happens and you just stand up, you're there for someone, you give them that word of encouragement, or you say something in front of an oppressor, or whatever the situation may be. But moments in your life that come and go, that some people shrink from the moment and some people rise to the occasion. And they only are able to rise to the occasion based on the preparation that they've done before. Meaning their iman has been cultivated in such a way that when that moment comes to them in their life, they are fully able to, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respond in a way that will be pleasing to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, قَدْ كُنَّا نَحْنُ وَهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ وَعِبَادِ الْأَوْثَانِ, O Messenger of Allah, we and them, the Quraysh, the disbelievers in us, we were the same. We used to worship idols. We used to worship idols. And he says, لَا نَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا نَعْرِفُهُ. We didn't worship Allah, nor did we even know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, during this stage of our lives, he says, وَهُمْ لَا يَطْمَعُونَ أَنْ يَأْكُلُوا مِنْهَا تَمْرَةً إِلَّا قِرًا أَوْ بَيْعًا. He says, and O Messenger of Allah, when we were both disbelievers, they, the Ghatafan, they would never dream of even having one date from our harvest, except if they were to come to us and we would host them, or if they were to purchase it from us. أَفَحِينَ أَكْرَمَنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ.
So when Allah has honored us with Islam, وَهَدَانَا لَهُ and has guided us to Him, وَأَعَزَّنَا بِكَ وَبِهِ and Allah has given us a strength of izzah and honor through our faith, through you and through Him, through knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نُعْطِيهِمْ أَمْوَالَنَا. At this moment, will we then give our crops? He says, وَاللَّهِ مَا لَنَا بِهَذَا مِنْ حَاجَةٍ. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, we have no need for this. This deal? We have no need for this. وَاللَّهِ لَا نُعْطِيهِمْ إِلَّا السَّيْفِ حَتَّى يَحْكُمُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ. I swear by Allah, we will not give them except we will meet them in battle. If that's what they want, that's what they will get. Until Allah decides the decision between us. And then he took the treaty that had been written up and he tore it up into pieces. But subhanAllah, in this moment of difficulty and trial, when they're besieged and they're in fear, and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh himself, he died a martyr from the wounds he suffered in this battle. He found strength. He found conviction in the knowledge and the certainty that he is on the right. And Allah will eventually decide the affair, even if it looks bleak right now. Even if it looks like there's no way out. We have no way to meet this army. We have no way to face them. But he found faith and strength in his faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said about the believers, هُنَالِكَ بْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. At this moment, in the battle of Al-Ahzab, he says the believers were shaken, وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. They were shaken, a very powerful shaken. To their core, the fear had reached. And so when earthquakes come our way, what keeps us grounded? When these catastrophes in our life hit us, Allah uses the word zulzilu zilzalan shadida. The believers were shaken to, you know, a mighty shaking. And we know zilzal is the same word used for earthquakes. And we know what happened to our brothers and sisters in Turkey and Syria. But subhanAllah, we see from their example, perhaps you guys have seen the videos, incredibly powerful videos, of faith manifest in the most difficult of circumstances. An old man trapped in the rubble, and you know the temperature there right now at night is dropping into the low 20s. And the day it reaches just above about 40 degrees. It's very cold. And they find this old man in the rubble, and they're telling him, we are going to give you a blanket. And you know what he says in response? After how many days he's trapped in this rubble, he says, give me water, I need to make wudu so I can pray. Allahu Akbar. What kind of faith that even in the most difficult circumstances, he knows that he has a very good likelihood that he may not survive this. And the survivors who are being pulled out, it's not like they're saved and we're, you know, back to normal. They have compartment syndromes in their extremities, they need emergency surgery, they go into renal failure, they need dialysis. And what kind of services are there in Syria, in a land that's been bombarded for almost 10 years? How many, the main hospital in Idlib has one dialysis machine or two dialysis machines. If they don't get dialysis, they will die. But even in this, he's saying, they're telling him, you don't have to pray right now. You're given the exception. It's okay. You see, an old woman, and subhanAllah, the age is so profound. Because it's not a young woman in her 20s or 30s in the peak of her beauty. She's in her elderly stages, and they find her after days under the rubble, and they're telling her to come out, and she's refusing. Until you bring me a hijab so I can cover myself. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I mean, you see the example of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, our mother, that after Umar al-Khattab was buried in her room. Her husband, Prophet ﷺ, was buried in her room. And her father, Abu Bakr, was buried next to the Prophet ﷺ. Both of them are mahram to her. The Prophet's her husband, Abu Bakr is her father, radiallahu anhu. But when Umar al-Khattab was then buried in her room, she would never enter her room and said that she would keep her jilbab and hijab on. Even though he's buried under the ground. Because the level of haya. Then you see this old woman, who no one knows her name. She's just a lady in a village. And her faith. Her faith. And so what keeps us grounded at these most moments of difficulty is what we cultivate in the times of ease. And so when the Prophet ﷺ, in his most difficult moment of his life, when he went to Ta'if to give the message to the people there, and he was ridiculed and to eventually drive him out of the city after being there for at least 10 days, 10 to 14 days, they sent the slaves and the children to stone him out of the city, and they stoned him for a period of time. It wasn't just like here to the exit of the masjid, just maybe 10, 20 yards. The narrations say he was continually followed until he entered into a garden that's 2 miles outside of the city. Imagine from here to like Walmart, continuously being stoned by a mob of people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that moment, he makes this powerful dua. Allahumma inni ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. Oh Allah, it is only to you I complain the weakness of my strength and the scarcity of my resources and the humiliation I'm facing in front of the people. And as the famous dua, but as we know, what does he say as it goes on? He says, illam yakum bika ghadabun alayya fala ubali. But oh Allah, ultimately what it comes down to is, so long as I know you are not angry with me, then all of this doesn't matter. Whatever trial I may go through, whatever personal earthquake I might have in my life, so long as I know you're not angry with me, it doesn't matter. وَلَكِنْ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُدِي. But your pardon and ease, of course, is easier for me. And the dua goes on. But subhanAllah, we find that the believers, the companions, the prophets, all of them left for us a beautiful example, and we find that example living in the lives of the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ till this day. That you find strength in your faith in the times of most difficulty, and that only comes for those who cultivate it in times of ease. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu wa-salamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. When Yunus alayhi salam, Prophet Jonah, was swallowed by the whale and taken to the bottom of the ocean, he heard the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to hear the soil and the pebbles of the bottom of the ocean making tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he heard the tasbih of the soil, he too said, let me take this place as a place to worship Allah. So he went down into sujood in the belly of the whale. And he cried out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَّن نَّقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَن لَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He cried out to Allah in the belly of the whale, going into sujood and saying, oh Allah, there is no God but you. How perfect you are, subhanak. Inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. I was amongst the wrongdoers. He prayed to Allah in his time of need. And subhanallah, the angels, you know, the different commentators of tafsir, they mentioned that when they heard the voice of Yunus alayhi salam, they said, oh Allah, abduka Yunus. This is your slave Yunus. We recognize his voice. We know his voice, but it's coming from a strange place. We've never heard his voice coming from the depths of the ocean and worshiping you, but we recognize his voice. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, this is the Yunus alayhi salam. So they ask Allah, oh Allah, this is your slave Yunus alayhi salam, who the one who used to continue to have good deeds ascend to you and his dua used to be answered. And they said, yes. So they said, oh Allah, أَوَلَا تَرْحَمُ مَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُهُ فِي الرَّخَاءِ فَتُنْجِيهِ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ. Oh Allah, will you not then reward him for what he used to do in times of ease by saving him in his time of difficulty now? And Allah said, yes, of course, and he was saved. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we answered his dua. And so we know the famous statement that the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas as a young man, a young boy, when he put him on his ride behind him, and he says, I will teach you some words. He says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ. يَعْرِفُكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Oh, Ibn Abbas, get to know Allah in times of ease, and Allah will be there for you in times of difficulty. So brothers and sisters, we have to cultivate our iman. If we live a life, you know, subhanAllah, when tests come our way, you know, after 9/11, there was this whole fear of like Muslims being put in internment camps and what's going to happen and all sorts of things. There's still some sort of fear there. If God forbid something were to happen again, then we're all in trouble. And imagine that, I remember thinking as a young man, a high schooler at that time when it happened, like what would be the state of you or I if we were in this position, If we were trapped under the rubble in Turkey, or if we were in a prison, unjustly in prison, awaiting relief, what would be our level of ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sincerity of our dua, and the tilawah, and the adhkar, and the like? But perhaps Allah sends us these reminders because He doesn't hear our voices in times of ease. So in times of difficulty, because Allah loves to hear you, He will put you through a difficulty so that He can hear your beautiful voice. And then you realize, and well, why don't I just live a life like that all the time? Why don't I live a life connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time? Live my life as if I'm in that state. So then when you are ever tested, when a'udhu billah, but if you are ever tested, Allah will be there for you by your side and give you tawfiq to have a standing moment in your life, perhaps a word you say or an action you do that will earn the pleasure of Allah, that you will never ever have to worry about anything after that until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get to know Allah. Develop your connection and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease. And Allah will be there for you in times of difficulty. There's different hadith, but for sake of time, I can't go through them. But just to share with you, when the Prophet was advising the companions what to say in times of difficulty, all of the hadith focus on belief in Allah and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. Right? Prophet, he told the companions to say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushiku bihi shay'a. Allahumma rahmataka arju fala takilni nafsi tarfat 'aynin wa aslih li sha'ni kullah la ilaha illa ant. All these du'a, and you could refer to them inshallah on the recording afterwards if you like, but du'a that we say, all of them bring us back to our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You strengthen that, you cultivate that now, you'll face the reward inshallah afterwards. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim fil 'alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma fil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka ya rabbana sami'un qarim mujibud da'awat. Oh Allah, we ask you to ease the affairs of our brothers and sisters in Syria and Turkey and all across the world. Oh Allah, we ask you to give them warmth from their cold, and give them food from their hunger, and give them drink from their thirst, and give them health from their sickness. Oh Allah, we ask you to give them security and peace and tranquility, to shower your mercy upon them, to shower your mercy upon those who are, those lives were lost, and those who are ill, and those who were affected. Oh Allah, we ask you to affect, to bless all those who are afflicted with trial and calamity in this world, and give them the highest reward in the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum wa aqim as-salah.